My goodness. Hello out there. I hope that you're with me once again, that we're together, and that we can follow up our program today. Clifford Brown and the Max Roach Quintet with what has become and what has been a great jazz standard. The tune is called Sandu. This is from their joint album, Study in Brown. Clifford Brown and Max Roach, released in 1955. Clifford Brown, of course, is on trumpet, Harold Land on tenor sax, Richie Powell on piano, George Morrow on bass, and, of course, Max Roach on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we're going to be addressing a question, and this is probably how we'll just use the last 2 days of the week, the same way we started the week, asking questions. And today, the topic is that it is way past time to compel Donald Trump to obey the law. Way past time. He's having one heck of a ball. Doing whatever it is he wants to do, how he wants to do it, when he wants to do it, because in his mind, that's what being president means. It means you do whatever you want. And you are not bound by any kind of law. You're not even bound by custom. You're not bound by protocols. You're not bound by anything. And, of course, he went into the White House as a very, how should I say, a very untrained person, untrained in the ways that people are supposed to be conducting themselves in that office. And since he listens to no one, pays no attention to anything, he's been allowed to bully his way through whatever processes have been standing for a long time. It occurred to me today, I was trying to remember the name of his chief of staff. Remember him? Is he even still there? John Kelly? Trump has decided that he is the law. He does not have to observe the law. He does not have to obey any laws. And that comes from the way, remember some time ago, I said that the oldest, nastiest, creepiest, most corrupt swamp there is in America is a swamp of real estate. There's no such thing as a clean mogul. But anyway, you notice that John Kelly is not even talked about these days as his chief of staff, which means he is not talking to John Kelly. Kelly is just there, and he has successfully set him aside. He has successfully isolated him from having any input at all in the day-to-day operations of the White House. But we have other indications that the president is way out of control. And I think it's going to be a major crisis very soon. When Defense Secretary James Mattis advised President Trump to seek congressional approval before ordering the April 13th military strikes on the alleged chemical weapons production sites in Syria, his concerns were summarily dismissed. It's as if he didn't say a thing. Now, here's a guy whose entire career has been in the military as commander in various areas. That's all he's done is the military. you bring him on as your advisor, your chief advisor. And he is telling you that the best thing to do before you do anything at all, send planes and U.S. troops and whatnot, you need to consult with Congress. And the response he gets, a man of that caliber gets from the president is, oh, please, don't bother. Mattis tried to tell the president that the War Powers Act, also known as the War Powers Resolution of 1973, obligated a president, any president, every president, to apprise Congress, that is, the people, that the United States military imminently would be involved in an armed conflict. He is obliged to share with Congress the reasons for such conflict, how long it is expected to last, the resources that will be needed, etc. These are the obligations of a president under the War Powers Act. Now, we only have just about a week to go back in historical time, so it's fresh in our minds. We know that Donald Trump did not meet with Congress. We know that he did not fulfill his obligations under the War Powers Act. But he organized a trio with France and with Britain and forces from the United States. This is how completely crazy this thing went down. So now we have not one, but three governments breaking the law, at least as it pertains in the United States. I don't know what requirements Britain has. I don't know what requirements France has. But here is a president encouraging two other foreign countries to break U.S. law as it applies to how wars are fought or how conflicts are handled. He is the guy who started it all. He went out and recruited them into this three-party effort, and they did their bombing, and they were very thrilled about it. He declared it a success, magnificent. It was just perfect. It couldn't have been better if a military general organized it himself. In other words, he was even better than the best military minds that the United States and France and Britain could produce. He by himself, he did it. Magnificent. And all the while, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Is it just me, or do we have, a lawless president? And he's now opening it up, the process up to foreign governments. Come on and be lawless like us. Meanwhile, Congress, which is the stand-in for us, the people, gets to know what is going on in an armed conflict, essentially. And again, I repeat, the only reason that you and I and millions of others are not looking at a cataclysmic scenario through our windows. The only reason that we're not seeing just shadows of buildings and whatnot, it's because Russia exercised extraordinary, I'm telling you, extraordinary restraint. it would have come to the aid of Syria, as it has for a long time. It would have done that. Iran would have done that. But despite the fact that Trump did what he did, they held back. And that act saved the entire world from war, a massive outbreak of war. And they had, I mean, you can say that they had authority to do just that. They had the authority to respond to this incoming invasion by Britain and France and the United States, but they didn't respond. They let them go ahead and do whatever bombing they came to do and then leave, which was remarkable by any means, any stretch of the imagination. That was an extraordinary thing to do. If Russia had unleashed its power at that time, if Iran had come into the fray, if others had come in to support the Assad regime and to fight off this invasion, it would have been a global problem, a global war. We're sitting here thinking, well, you know, things are running according to plan. But no, we do not understand and appreciate how close Trump's bizarre actions, how close it put us as a nation and the rest of the world, how close it put us to war. We still don't get it. Now, we have rules, supposedly. We have laws and we have procedures that people should follow. And here is the commander-in-chief, who knows nothing about war. He barely scraped through military school, never went to war. His sons have not been to war. He has a top advisor. Whatever people think about this business of warfare, you need people who are familiar with this sphere. And as military people go, you can't get a more seasoned, more highly respected person than James Mattis. Right? All he has ever been has been a soldier. He's commanded all these different sectors of these different theaters of war in his time. And when Trump announced, yeah, we have James Mattis on board, and he is going to be our Secretary of Defense. Wow. People took notice of that appointment, saying, well, Trump is trying to, you know, just do the right thing. He's trying to kick his cabinet up a notch, only to find that Mattis's first real test in terms of whether this president understands what the hell he's doing. He gives him a piece of advice. And it happens to be part of the routine of being commander in chief, part of the routine of wanting to launch a quick attack. He advises the president, you've got to go before Congress. And you've got to get the authorization from Congress to do what you're contemplating to do. And he rebuffs it, which means he's suicidal. And it means also that he has a totally distorted idea of what it means to be Commander-in-Chief and President of the United States. And it means that he does not intend to obey the law. And it means that we have no mechanism, it appears, within the United States to rein this renegade president in. He's already celebrating the fact that Mike Pompeo, who is to be the next Secretary of State, has already had secret meetings with Kim Jong-un. And he's thrilled about it. What a great accomplishment, these secret meetings. Except one thing, a small matter, but it matters. Mike Pompeo has not yet been confirmed as Secretary of State. He has no authority to meet with anybody at that level in behalf of the government of the United States. There's a process, like I said. He has to come before Congress. He has to be vetted. He has to be questioned. There has to be a vote as to whether people believe that Mike Pompeo is suitably qualified to conduct any kind of transactions in the name of U.S. foreign policy and diplomacy in behalf of the government of the United States. Again, Trump is on the loose. He's in his manic phase. He got up and probably from very short sleep, and he couldn't wait to find out what else he can do that he actually is not permitted to do. I'm back, and you know, after a while, you just have to take this as it comes. I had a delivery person banging on my door, trying to deliver a package. I tell you. But in any event, this is what we are looking at, a president that is totally out of control, an administration and a Congress that seems to be okay with self-imposed impotence. Congress seems not to be able to confront the president about these things and seems to have no way of reining him in. And already we see the escalation. If Trump thinks that something is a good idea, just get it done. You would think that somebody basically even in training to be president of the United States would know how this system works, why it works the way it does. So I ask you, what do you think? What will it take for this country to rein this president in? Because surely we're going to come into a very bad situation in which he would be the principal decision maker, if not the only one, and the whole country and much of the world could possibly find itself in a position of paying the price for some bizarre decision making by this president. He doesn't see the need to obey the law, not in letter or in spirit. And he believes that the term, the designation of commander-in-chief, means that he can do whatever he wants. And he's doing it. So we'll talk about that today. What mechanisms do you think would work? What do we have to do? What has to be done now to get this president in line with his role and his function and his obligations as commander-in-chief, what he's supposed to be doing and what he is not allowed to do? He's already done it. He's already by himself, he's already broken several rules, which could have been, as I said, we could be this week, today, we could be walking amid our rubble that used to be our homes, trying to figure out what we can salvage, or whether we could identify the bodies that are missing. We could have been in a very major military confrontation if Vladimir Putin did not himself, and at great cost, I would say, if he did not exercise extraordinary restraint and pull back, we would have been in World War III. Today is day six. I am amazed that the members of Congress are so cowardly. They don't see that this is a problem. I'm amazed that the members of Trump's cabinet themselves, including Defense Secretary James Mattis. I thought James Mattis had taken a vow never to implement a wrong or defective order. That is part of his duty, I would assume, of the military, to not implement or execute an illegal or unlawful order. So we have massive breakdown here in the United States, massive breakdown of the internal order with this president. It is very scary. And it amazes me that, you know, we're just going along with life, not giving a hoot about the actual danger that we are in, that he has put us in. And supposedly now this is the time to test the strength of democratic rule. You can't have a president behaving like this. We have seen what happens to countries that allow people to operate as a god. They make all the decisions. They tell people what to do, even when they are wrong as hell. Nobody stands up and opposes them. Nobody calls them out on it. They're just allowed to do whatever it is they want to do. Is that where we're headed? No, probably that's where we already are. But we have to ask ourselves some serious questions in this country. what is this democracy that we continually talk about? This act of invading sovereign territory last Friday, shelling various sites that they said, well, these sites, they're producing weapons, biological and chemical weapons. That was an act of war. And they are lucky that, again, the response was completely muted. For the sake of the world, for the sake of the world, and that's not an exaggeration, folks. For the sake of the rest of the world, people had to step back from what they are logically and legally required to do. So, I'll hear what you're thinking at 888-874-4888. We'll take a break and come back to your thoughts. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about the fact that we, as a nation, we're seeing all the signs that we need to see that something has got to be done to rein in what I consider a renegade president. He has taken us to the brink of war a couple of times now. And in this most recent turn, he has demonstrated that he intends to do whatever he wants to do. Because if he wants to do it, that makes it legal, that makes it right. What should be done about the situation? We haven't seen any movement in Congress to affirm its authority in behalf of the people as the one of the so-called the greatest system of checks and balances. They're letting him do whatever it is he wants to do. We have someone who has not yet been confirmed, being given license to engage in diplomatic thought, a diplomatic process with Kim Jong-un. He has no authority to do that. And the president has no authority to send him off to North Korea to do that. But he did. Even when he's not confirmed and not authorized to represent the United States in any diplomatic effort. So we have to ask ourselves some questions here. What is the matter with us? Why are we so silent about these things? Why is there no concerted effort, an organized concerted effort, to rein this man in every sphere of influence that he operates? The United States is embarrassingly deficient. We have a representative at the United Nations, Nikki Haley, I already described her early in the game. She came across as a thug, a person who doesn't understand diplomacy, and who, I suppose, in order to impress Donald Trump, the bigger thug, how much of a thug she could be, she has alienated most of the Security Council and the General Assembly with her attitude and with her demeanor and manner. She has never been in that arena before. And this is the impression that America is giving the world, a bunch of really inexperienced people feeling their oats because they have the privilege of a title and they're drunk with the idea of the power that they have. And they believe that the world should operate as they want it to operate. They have no commitment to following rules and laws. They could do whatever they want. But I'm asking us to consider for a good minute that with our silence, we are condoning this and bringing on to ourselves punishments and retribution and war and all manner of crazy reprisals that we can't even imagine yet because of this. And we don't seem to have an answer for what seems to me to be a straightforward and simple question. Why is the president being allowed to operate above the law? And his entire administration, they're all doing what they want to do. They are all doing what they want to do. And they make it the law. And we have to live with it. Because they are very much aware of the position they occupy, not only in the United States, but around the world. They're a special breed of autocrats. They don't have to account to anybody for anything. They don't have to ask opinions. They don't have to ask permission to start wars. They don't have to do anything like that. They do whatever they wish to do with the people's resources and even with their lives. And we are supposed to sit by, watch them do this, and force ourselves to be comfortable with it. What do you think? Am I exaggerating things, or is this a situation that we are embarrassed, that we have no real explanation or answer for why, not only why what they're doing, but why is it that we are doing what we are doing? We are operating like fearful people, like a herd of sheep. And we already are talking in muted tones about outrageous acts of this administration and the president. In most countries that take democracy seriously, people certainly would have made it known by now that they are not at all in favor of the way this government is being run. Congress is bypassed and it does nothing. The Democrats supposedly have a vested interest in ramping up their political activity. It's doing nothing. I don't know where we go from here. We have all, in one way or the other, it seems, capitulated to a president who is out of his mind and an administration that doesn't care where its outrageous actions would take us. It does not care about the dangers ahead or the consequences or likely consequences of its actions and inactions. So this is the dilemma. We're seeing it happen. We know it's happening. There's a lot of coverage. In fact, the president is his own PR man. He sends out tweets about what is happening, what he's doing. And he expects that there will be unanimity of agreement with it. And worse, that we would have no reason to object. We should have no reason to object. When he did this with John Mattis, Mattis is basically trying to save the country from a renegade president. And he tells the president, before you send off planes and you send off bombers and so forth, you should bring this matter before Congress. And the law-breaking president says, forget about that. That's not going to happen. I think it's appropriate. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice.
Hello.
I just thought of something funny. Too bad we don't have good old Monroe to call up and tell us, give us these answers to these problems. Remember good old Monroe?
Yes, I do.
BAI? It was you.
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts is, how come Elon Musk can send up rockets every day over here in Florida, and Kim doesn't complain about it? How come Dennis Rodman can go over and visit Kim whenever he wants to, because Kim loves basketball and he's allowed to go over there and talk to him anytime? Why hasn't he become the Secretary of State, Dennis Rodman?
How come a doctor can tell you
that you have 4-stage cancer and there's no hope? What gives a person a right to tell another person that they have no hope, that they can go home and prepare to die?
I think we can appreciate how the world of diplomacy works. Dennis Rodman was not operating as an agent of the United States. He was undertaking what he considered to be a personal effort because things were so critical. It did not look good. It looked like anything that could help should help. And that's basically the capacity in which he reached out to North Korea. But I'm talking about Mike Pompeo. He is meeting, or he has met, in secret with Kim Jong-un, we are told, as an official representative of the U.S. government. He is not yet confirmed. And the fact that a president, knowing these things, would approve of this, it's outrageous. Nobody in their right mind would do something like that.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Continue.
No, I'm done.
I'm saying, what about Elon Musk? He's a private citizen in the United States. How come he's allowed to send the rockets up there? Suppose one of these rockets comes down and falls on your house.
Well, we
do we have
we
any say
about
in it?
Two different things here. I'm discussing.
And how are they? The and how does he have all these rackets already built to go
you're
up
on
here?
On a totally different track, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but we never deal with those issues. We're only dealing
yeah,
with Donald Trump
not
every
dealing
day.
Dealing with them today either. What we're talking about is a renegade president.
I'm talking about a crazy world.
Elon Musk can't just decide that he will send up rockets. The administration has to sign off on it. I mean, nobody could just do that. So we're clear that in so many ways, the administration is not doing what it's supposed to do. And it's
all right,
doing-
let me put it this way. Do you really think these zillionaires and billionaires would allow their money to be at risk to have some crazy person, Donald Trump, as the president, if this wasn't all set up this way? I think Putin's working for the United States.
I know that we know what is happening, and we know that there doesn't seem to be much resistance to the illegalities and the cutting of corners and the inability of the process to work, which has worked for many, many years until now. And we have to ask the question, why? Because, again, if we were to really get a detailed accounting, and I can't wait for somebody to do it, we would understand how close we came. And we still are to a world war because we have a renegade president who is doing his own thing, even though, you know, he's not a thinking man. He's doing his own thing and imperiling not just the United States and probably Britain and France, but much of the world.
And so did Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. They should change his name to Barack Obama. And the Bushes.
No, we're having a very serious discussion. And
it's not serious.
I don't want to make light of any of this at all because it's so serious. But you've made your point, and thank you for calling in.
I'm not making light. I'm not finished with my point, but thank you
but
anyway
you
for taking my call.
With point because I said so. Okay, we have some.
I want to thank Desiree for calling in because her voice empowers me and the rest of the.
Thank you. Ernie from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
You're on the air.
Yeah, this is not Ernie, though. This is Jay from Queens. How are you?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, how are you doing, my dear? I don't know. Some people need to take their meds. I'm sorry, but back to the point you were raising about it. We're just seeing a furtherance of the imperial presidency, and I don't know what this Congress is as an institution generally is going to defend, but the Republicans have shown that they're very much in lockstep with whatever goes for is good for them. They don't care what this president does, and when they get tired of him, they will impeach him or they will put forth an impeachment article. But I think for the most part, what we're finding is that this guy is fulfilling the best wet dreams of the oligarchs of this country and the deep state as far as furthering war. I don't think he really wants to move that way, but he is so corrupt and so inept that they can manipulate him left or right. Now, he has his own inherent problems as a narcissist, a racist, and all those things, but it's working well, and media is afraid to attack it or address it from the fourth estate because they were negligent. They were negligent from not vetting this guy or doing much more investigative work before he got into office. And at this point, I think much of what we have is just a sense of, well, the justification comes, well, if Barack Obama did this, or the prior president had authorizations, and I was no front of that policy to allow the president to bomb on his own decision at will at any country. And this is just as George Bush said years ago, if this were a dictatorship, it would be great. I mean, this is after 9/11. It's not to say that much has gone, but we have just gone further down that rabbit hole. We're allowing the executive to decide, make decisions that should be decided when we say we are a practicing democracy, because we're not a democracy. I consider us a republic trying to be a democracy. And we are very much at risk of losing that opportunity because we essentially assigned allowing out of fear, out of a sense of deep partition between the people, right or left or progressive or conservative, to a point where we're somewhat inept. And I think the Democrats are sitting on the side waiting and hoping that, you know, the term elections will make a big difference for them, but they don't really care. I think that they're just inept as well. I'm sorry to say I'm very much with the same sort of opinion as you are as to why it is that we are sitting by and allowing this to go on. So that's my thoughts on the matter and your comment.
Well, thank you. I agree with you. And I'm feeling so frustrated because it is so clear what is happening. It is so clear what we ought to be doing, and we're not doing it. Thank you for your call. Khalil from South Carolina, you're on the air.
Wow, wow, wow. Some people are on fire today.
yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. I am so glad that you picked this topic because I was talking with a friend of mine before, this is a few days ago, before I realized that they sent Pompeo over there. And let's remember, regardless of your politics, Pompeo is kind of a detestable person. Now, this is the same guy who in Kansas, I believe it's Kansas, he's where he's from. He's a Koch person. He was demonizing Islam. You know, he's intolerant of people with alternative lifestyles. But beyond that, and this is what one of the previous callers missed, and maybe some people got it, it's unconstitutional. You know, it's clearly laid out in the Constitution, the branches of government and what they're supposed to do. But from the beginning, this administration, this regime did not adhere to the Constitution because he was in breach of emoluments the minute he took the oath before he was inaugurated. Remember, he was sending people all over the world. He sent Jared Kushner all over looking for back channels to Russia, which means that no one's knowing what they're communicating about. So yeah, but we should be worried because he's not, I'm not going to raise my voice. This regime is not going to stop unless we stop them. It is clear. It's clear to me, but this is absolutely unconstitutional. Pompeo is a terrible person to do this. Matter of fact, this regime is no good at diplomacy. We have no State Department. You know,
There's
we
no
have
State
no
Department.
State Department. This is frightening. I'm a little frightened because we're so weakened now. You know, if someone wanted to physically attack us, we would probably crumble. You know, but I'm glad you're addressing this because, you know, beyond everything else, I firmly believe this is that move was unconstitutional. And I'm disappointed when I hear the pundits. No one's really they know in their heart that's wrong. But they're like, well, he might get some movement with North Korea. Maybe that's a good thing. But you know what? Maybe it's not, because what this guy is very mercurial in his personality. And he said today or yesterday, he said, yeah, if I don't like the deal, you know, I'll just walk away. But, you know, you don't know what their mindset is like. And who's doing the translating? I have a lot of questions.
Do you know how stupid it is? I mean, just plain stupid for a president to say, if it's not going well the way I want it, I'll walk out. You're just confirming how mentally ill you are. And in fact, the response should have been, if you think it's not going to work, don't bother to come. Don't come at all.
Don't come at all.
No, don't come. Don't come. Don't show up here.
Okay.
Coming in with the attitude of the ugly American, if it is not going the way I want it to go, I'm going to walk out. I mean, what kind of crass, tacky, stupid position is that?
I'll tell you that's a position of an older person of privilege, white privilege, and it's oozing of manifest destiny. And if we all look at our American history, that's exactly how that comes across. And that's not even the way you negotiate. First of all, on our end, you need to have some terms. This is what are our goals of this, of our meeting? We have to have some goals here. The other side doesn't need to know what our goals are, but we need to know what our goals are. And the public goals that we have, they're totally unrealistic. You can't expect those people just to stop their nuclear program.
But how do you propose to have bilateral talks when you don't have the lateral part on your side fixed? You don't have a State Department.
You can't. This whole thing is a mess. Look,
it tells you that this man's mind is shot. He's crazy. If I were Kim Jong-un, I would say, you know, for your sake, because I'm so concerned about you, don't come until you're ready. Don't come.
I agree. You know what? I think it's good enough that we had some communication. I think that it eased the tension, I think. And maybe that's all we needed to do, because these people are not competent. They don't need to poke their finger, do anything else to our government. They need to just stop, just freeze before they do anything else. And Congress needs to do their job. And that's the bottom line.
Thank you, Khalil, for your call today. Thanks so much. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrecht. How are you doing?
Okay.
I just had to say a few things about this subject because I have problem when we talk about the rule of laws. When the United States have abided by the rule of laws, really? I do have problem with that. It's not even about Trump. If you remember, one of the things that Trump said at one time, he said, we have done things around, he didn't really say around the world, I can't really quote him that well, but I remember he said, we have done things around the world that we are not proud of, okay? So when you talk about the rule of law, or laws, it's like when you have a child or you have a plan. When you have a child, what you do is you start giving that child some rules and regulations. And if you take a look since the beginning of this man, not from when he won the presidency, but before that, I mean, this man, he didn't show his taxes. He said he was a pussy grabber. He had done everything that he wanted with his business, with his hotel. He talked to other people from another world, people just like him, important, and they come and pay, and they use his hotel and money that it goes to his pocket. So he had never followed any rules, any laws. And it's like having a child. If you don't hold on to your child and show your child some rules, what did the child will do? They will do whatever. And this is why, even if he went to the Congress to ask for approval of attacking Syria, I don't think it really will have mattered anyway. And I comprehend, I understand what you're trying to say, that he's out there. He's like not like a wild animal doing whatever he wants to do. But he has been doing that from the beginning.
Well,
even before
he became. That's absolutely true. We can't argue against that. But at the same time, we're saying we are concentrating on his arrogation of power. He took all these powers unto himself without much resistance from Congress, without much resistance from the Republican or Democratic Party or any of the other parties, without much resistance from the people.
But that is my point. If you have a child and you don't control your child, then the child said, I could do whatever. And this is what the Congress, they never did anything to control him. His own party never did anything to control him. So he's doing whatever he wants to do. And that's my point. So how can he be controlled? And let's just face it, United States went and bombed Syria, and they have done that over and over and over. They don't care about the I don't care who is sitting in the White House. I really don't care who's sitting in the White House. The fact is that this country has done whatever they want, and they will continue doing it. So,
well, now, now we have the problem. We have the problem now that we the people, our inaction, our inattention is now clearly, it's very possible that it would work seriously against us. And we still are not acting like this is a crisis at all. Well, that goes the music, so it means that we've come to the end of the program for today. Tomorrow, of course, is Free Your Mind Friday, and we will continue our conversation and fill out the week. Thank you so much for listening and contributing today so meaningfully. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Expanding Mind with Eric Davis. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.